flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cavs, the all-star nonsense is out. I call it nonsense because it's an all-star game and we really care. And Darius Garland, not a starter. Donovan Mitchell is. Kenny Atkinson going to be represented in the game as well to talk about why he chose for his own voting side of things. Darius over Donovan as a starter. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer Dan Devine. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm stoked that we're getting into it by starting with the All-Star game doesn't matter and we don't really care about it. Let's do a segment, man. Let's get going.
You see exactly how we do things on this show. But your voting was really interesting because you're really the only person we saw having Darius over Donovan. So why did that make sense to you?
A couple things. One is I kind of feel like, there are advanced statistical versions of this, right? I don't want to get too into the mumbo-jumbo on it, but if you look at a lot of the sort of all-in-one impact metrics, guys who are elevating their team's play on both ends of the floor when they're on the floor, and a number of the ones that are kind of all-in-one that I consider to be the best ones, Darius was a little bit ahead of Donovan in a bunch of those. And actually, by a bunch of them, Darius has been a top 10 to 15 value player in the league full stop thus far this season. And I think a lot of people maybe don't pay as much attention to that because obviously he's standing next to a guy who has been an all-NBA player, right? A guy who has been, a handful of times an all-star, MVP conversation, has a much bigger national profile. But per minute, per possession, in terms of the way he's shooting, the efficiency that he's been shooting it with, of course, before he misses a handful of shots at the line the other night, but before that, and the playmaking, the turnover avoidance, the way that he elevates that offense into, and that's what really has made the Cavs so special this season, the offense reaching historic levels. Garland, that to me, has been a bigger driver of that. Now, Donovan Mitchell deserves a ton of credit for being willing to take a step back, right? Like, his statistical argument might look better if he was taking as many shots as he usually does, using as many possessions as he usually does, if he was sort of more primary on the ball. His willingness to take a step back, though, has opened the door for Garland to take a step forward and Evan Mobley as well to take a step forward, and I think that's really been driving the team's success. So that's one version of it. The other version is I'm pretty sure when I'm making that case that no matter which way I vote, Donovan Mitchell is going to get the vote. I'm going by based on what I'm seeing from other colleagues and saying I'm pretty sure he's going to wind up getting this guard spot. And I don't know if anybody out there is going to be making the case for how good Darius Garland has been. And if you read my thing and you take one thing away from it, maybe it's that. Maybe it's that this guy deserves a hell of a lot more credit than he's been getting. And I think if it didn't result in a starting spot for him in the All-Star game, I'm hopeful it'll result in a reserve spot, though, because this Cavs team deserves a number of players, and Darius Garland's one of them.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, we definitely, being in Cleveland, we like you championing for Darius, that's for sure. But I did wonder what the reaction was from the basketball world within this piece. Obviously, here we all found it to be great, but did you get blowback for maybe propping up Darius, or was it just kind of like, oh, okay, maybe we should have given Darius more credit?
The responses that I got mostly were from Miami Heat fans who called me colorful words for not including Tyler Hero. That was most of the blowback I got, which it was nice to learn some new words. That's great. I did not get a ton of pushback. I think most people really sort of appreciated the thought exercise, appreciated the argument. And I think also with the understanding that there was an awful lot of support out there for Donovan Mitchell. I think the widespread belief was it's going to be Donovan and Jalen Brunson, probably 1-2 in some capacities there. My colleague Tom Haberstroh, we do a show together called The Big Number, a podcast at Yahoo Sports. He was going to have both of the starters, the Cavs guards, in the starting lineup for him had he had a real ballot. So I think there's a lot of people that sort of expected that Mitchell was going to get that nod no matter what. But when you sort of lay out just how good Darius has been, you know, it wasn't exactly like you could say that my argument was unfounded or shaky too much. So I think that was something that, you know, if there was a whole lot of people cursing me behind my back outside of those Miami fans, I haven't heard it. Maybe they've been doing it in their DMs, but not in mine.
Dan Devine, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We've talked a lot about Darius, and you know, Donovan's obviously the star on the team, has been for a while. Evan Mobley has been a favorite of a lot of NBA media members, and so he gets a lot of attention. It does feel like Darius isn't quite getting the credit he's due for the Cavs' ridiculous start to the season. Is there something, like, is there a way a guy like Darius, who's playing the way he is, that something he can do in Cleveland to get more credit during this run?
It's a really interesting question, and I wrote a large story. I wrote at the beginning of last season where the sort of general idea was: is Darius Garland the most underrated star in the NBA? And I talked to Darius for a little bit. I talked to some of his teammates, JB Bickerstaff, early in last season, and the general understanding was that because his game is so it's so smooth and it's almost so subtle. Some parts of it, like, you don't necessarily, there's not a whole lot of big tomahawk dunks, right? There's not a whole lot of explosive plays. It's a below the rim kind of athleticism that calls to mind more like Steve Nash. And if you are not, you know, getting 14, 15 assists per game and revolutionizing NBA offense with the way, the speed of your team, that is a little bit harder to sort of generate the interest in or get the eyeballs on it. Especially, again, I think you're standing next to Donovan Mitchell and people can just go, yeah, well, that guy's the superstar. And totally understandably so, right? So all that to say, the best way for Darius Garland to have sort of breakthrough in national consciousness, I think, is it's the way that almost every other star has had to do it. Grab some eyeballs in springtime. You know, if you go and you make not just sort of skinny your teeth, get past the first round, and then bow out in round two, if you make a deep run and you look pretty good doing it, I think that gets a lot of attention. That's what gets people to sort of remember your name a little bit more this time of year. But to this point in the season, all Darius Garland has done is score and play make more efficiently than he ever has in his life, be close to, I think within like a handful of makes of being 50-40-90, the only guy in the league to be within hailing distance of 50-40-90 this season, on one of the best offenses we've ever seen at a team that's on pace for like 69 wins. So he's doing his job. It's just going to come down to whether that can happen in April, May, and June.
Donovan's in. We'd have to believe Mobley will be in. You made the case for Garland. I think you're right there, by the way. Does Jared Allen make it into the All?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All-star game.
I would love to see it. I think there's an argument that because East is so much deeper in the guard spots, that there's one way to look at it that is that's helpful, because maybe that means there's not going to be quite as much competition for a front court spot. The glass half empty look is because there are so many guards on the eastern side of things, the wild card spots, those last two sort of can be of any position, are probably going to go to guards. So it might mean there's not quite as much space for Allen, who winds up being on the outside of things. Because if you're a voter and you're or if you're a coach, because the coaches are the ones who decide on the reserve corps, and they're like, well, we already got three Cavs in. Like, do we necessarily need to have four? I think sometimes that horse trading can happen, right? Like, you know, if the Pacers don't have anybody, but they're in the fourth spot, like, do we need to acknowledge them? Whatever, that kind of situation. So that can happen. In my, you know, again, my back of the envelope math doesn't really matter. In the reserve corps, I had Allen on the outside looking in. I had Mobley and Pascal Siakam. And honestly, off the top of my head, I am forgetting who the third big that I had was. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I know that Jared Allen was one of the honorable mentions. I think he's going to be in that kind of company for most people that are making those sorts of decisions. But that said, I mean, coaches understandably love Jared Allen, like a guy who just, he is about the right things. He's going to protect the rim, and he's not going to worry about getting dunked on in the process, because he believes he's going to block more than he gets punched on. And he's going to shoot 70%. He's going to make everything around the basket. He's going to hammer the offensive glass. He's going to get your guards open. And he's just going to be a good vibes guy along the way. I think coaches have an awful lot of respect for the player he's turned into and the impact that he has for that team. So that very well could wind up being reflected in the coaching ballots for the reserve corps.
Dan, this is purely an academic exercise. I do not want to trade Darius Garland, but a narrative that was really, really out there and really widely accepted was Darius Garland did not have significant trade value, maybe year over year from where he had the previous year because of how last year went this last summer. So in terms of what he's done for his value around the NBA, do you think it's back to where it was 2 years ago?
I would have to think so. I mean, there's two ways to look at it, right? He was coming off a significantly down season last year. We can now apply the context to that, right, and say, dude got his face broken in the middle of the season, had his jaw wired shut for a month and a half, couldn't eat food, and, lost weight, lost strength, lost rhythm, never really got on track last season. The version of Garland that we're seeing this year is much more, I think, it's the version we saw before Donovan Mitchell got there, it's the version that we saw in their first season together, and even a better version of that. So I think last year is the outlier, and if I'm just sort of looking at this from a how do you value this player position, he's on a post-rookie scale max contract, so 25% of the salary cap, a salary cap that continues to go up. So his contract will be taking up a lesser percentage of the cap. He's just about to turn 25 years old, so you're getting, like, I believe the next three seasons, the next four seasons of that, you're getting him through prime years if you make that deal. So it is a percentage of the cap that's going to decline for a player who is performing at an all-star level, and you're getting his prime years. And it's not like he's necessarily injury-prone. He got his face broken. So I look at that and I say, I would be willing to bet on that guy, but, you're also talking to the guy who voted him in as an all-star starter. So maybe I'm a little bit too much in the tank for it, but I would have to imagine that around the league, if you are, if you were a team that's saying we need to take a swing at a franchise point guard and you're trying to figure out who makes the most sense budget-wise and who might be a good person to bet on as a building block moving forward, I would certainly want to talk to Kobe Altman about Darius Garland. But I'm guessing that at this point, if Kobe wasn't willing to go off of Darius Garland last summer, I have to imagine it would take an awful lot to get him off of Darius Garland this summer.
Dan, great stuff, both on your piece and with joining us. We really appreciate your time. Have a great weekend, bud.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Dan Devine there, the senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what Dan had to say, and we might have proof that there isn't enough love to go around for the Cavs at 4:03 right here on 92.3 The Fan.